Continuing in the Bilvavi, Chelek Beis, page Kuf Zayin, in chapter Yud Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, chapter 11, we're in the middle of it, we're past the subcategory of the beginning of service is at times when you're not being disturbed. Okay, so we're third line from the top of page Kuf Zayin. We're discussing the different ways you begin your day in terms of developing this idea of Hashkocha Pratis and how a person should reflect on the mistakes that a person makes during the day when a person got angry at certain situations, and you should reflect on what was I getting angry for? After all, it was Hashem who was making the situation happen, and am I getting angry at Hashem? So therefore my response of anger was not correct. And we said that's the best chinuch you can give your children in that area, is to behave properly in these situations. They'll learn more than that than all the sermons you can give. So that's what we're up to. Amnam al lo lekabel ke'es al asno kabbalah shebapam abahu lo yichol. So now that you've reflected that your anger was an unjustified response, you should not accept upon yourself at this point on a kabbalah, a commitment that it'll never happen again that you're going to get angry. Don't do that. Why? Because Kabbalas min asugazeh, those types of Kabbalas, hinon dimionos shel hatoya atzmis, that is a fantasy of one's own self-deception. Because you're not going to stop getting angry tomorrow. It's not going to be. Because you don't believe in God's Hashkacha. You haven't worked on it 10,000 times. You're not there, and you're not going to not get angry again. So stop saying, I'm never going to do it again. So what are you supposed to do? But you accept upon yourself to work all the time on the exercises that will eventually get you to feel God's divine supervision. That's what you're supposed to accept upon yourself. And therefore, when it'll come again, a certain situation, it'll come again in your life that could get you angry. So then, so it could be the attitude of anger will be lessened a little bit the next time. Don't even expect a radical change in a week. It isn't going to happen. The means for it to happen just isn't there. Either you feel God's supervision in your life or you don't. And you can't go from feeling not feeling it to feeling it in a week. It's just impossible. It's just impossible. Forget it. It's not going to happen. You can pray to Hashem, as we'll see in a minute. You should pray to Hashem. Hashem, help me that I should stick with the program. If I stick with the program, one day I'll be much less angered. That's what you should do. But don't say, I'm never going to get angry again. Now, Reishis Olav Lahagia LaEtzam HaKor B'Madrego. So the first thing you got to do is to recognize your level. Kigon, for example, Lacher shekas, after you got angry, yakir shekas zenovei michos emuna, recognize that your anger comes from a lack of belief in God. And get that through your head, that you understand that I really don't feel God in my life. That's the truth. At least, if you can't do better, no better than that, you at least are honestly appraising yourself, which is the first step. The discerning of the situation of the soul and the recognition of its feelings, where they're coming from, this is already progress in your service of Hashem in relation to the fall you took yesterday in the anger that you displayed. In relation to yesterday's anger, that you recognize the source of the anger is because you don't believe in Hashem properly, that is already another level. It's a better level than you were on the day before. Now, continue with your self-reflection and speak it out. After you said, my anger was an unwarranted response, you speak out and say, I know that this can happen again, and I'm going to get angry again. Yitochen she'echal shuv, it's possible I will get angry again. Achani lo is ya'esh, but I will not give up. I will stay in the fight. Okay? Now that's very important. See, Yiyush, despair, happens to people who want to reach levels quickly. Right? That's when you get into despair. If you know that it's going to take time, you don't get into despair. You say, I know this is a process. It's going to take a couple years. So I don't get all frustrated that I haven't accomplished it in a week. Right? Where does despair come from? Where do you feel like a failure? When you expect instant results. You say, well, I should be able to accomplish this in a week. And a week passes and you're not even close to accomplishing. So what do you say? I'm a failure. I can't do such a simple thing like believe in God. Because you came in with unrealistic expectations. If you have realistic expectations and you know it takes years to get here, so of course along the path you will continue to get angry. That's all. But you may notice, if you're careful, over time, over months, that the anger isn't as sharp as it used to be. Right? You didn't slap your kid this time, you only yelled at him. It's already a level. You know, and then after a few months, you yelled a little less, and then finally you didn't yell. You just insulted him, but not by yelling. And slowly, it'll take time. Right? But people who want to reach level quickly, you know, compare people who got rich, like over 50 years of hard work, versus the nouveau riche. Now, compare how they each respond to crises. Right? The old timer, you know, doesn't react so negatively. You know, he doesn't let any certain sudden changes get him too nervous. You know, while the newly wealthy, they just collapse and they fall apart. Why? Because the old timer, he has a binion, he has established a structure of dealing with wealth. Dealing with wealth. He's already used to dealing with wealth. While the new fellow, he lives from inspiration. Right? That's the way it works. Guys who got rich quick, they get all nervous because there's no real building of wealth. It was just a sudden wealth and it's easy come, easy go. Right? So that's the same thing with emunah. When we're dealing with emunah, If you make a binyan, if you're working on building a foundation and a steady growth, then you know you don't despair. But if your service is basically from arousal, I gotta do it. Let's get it done quickly, and you have no binyan, you have no structure, so you're gonna despair. And building takes years. That's what we're saying. So don't despair. Just stick with the program. That's all. And understand there's going to be a lot of mistakes along the way. Okay, continuing inside. Ashrish ba'atzmi, as you continue to tell yourself now. Ashrish ba'atzmi as amuna od pam ve'od pam. I will try to develop and put it in root within myself. This amuna again and again and again and again and again. So here's the point. This is where the secular world blows it entirely. Okay. In the secular world, the term we'd be using here is called anger management. Okay? And that's not the issue. It's not anger management. What do the words mean? Anger management. It means you get angry. There's no plan to stop the anger. It's a plan to manage the anger. It's a goyish concept, anger management. It means, you know, accept the fact that you're an angry guy and you're never going to get rid of the root of the anger. But what we can do is make sure you don't do anything illegal or hurtful with it. So anger management says, you're ready to blow, you're ready to kill somebody, count to 10, and take a cold shower. Okay, it's anger management. They give you different kinds of techniques to reduce the effect of what the anger is going to do. How do we manage our anger? And listen, that's better than not committing yourself to managing your anger. But it will forever be a very frustrating thing, and 9 out of 10 times it fails. There's only so many times you can hold back that anger. Right? It's a dam ready to burst. So anger management is putting different thumbs in the dikes. While what we're learning over here is it's an emunah issue. Finished. Let's get to the cause. Get the person to feel his emunah 100%, then you realize there's nothing to get angry about. You've disarmed the anger. It never happens again once you've developed the proper emunah. Because the Gemara says, kol ha-koyes, anyone who gets angry, ki'ilu oyved avodah zarah. It's like you worship idols. It's like you worship idols if you get angry. Why? Well, the Torah says, lo yeh becha el zor. There shall not be becha amongst you a foreign god. Now, the word becha literally means inside you. There should not be inside you a foreign god. What does that mean? There should not be inside you a foreign god. Meaning to tell us that the root of anger is the loss of consciousness of God directing your life. If you lose that consciousness that God's directing your life, then you believe something else is directing your life. Think about it. Think about it. What's idol worship? You believe in a power controlling your life other than God, right? Is that what idol worship is? You believe in a power other than God that's controlling your life. So now, your kid spilled the grape juice all over the table. So now, you're getting angry at the kid. Why? Why? See, if you have the right emunah, you say that was the Ratzon Hashem that he wanted to happen. And Hashem's in control and Hashem knows what's best. How are you going to get angry? But if you're saying it was my kid who did it, so then the foreign power that you believe that's running your life is your kid. That's what you're saying. So you're worshiping the power of your kid's evil. Or whatever force that's making bad happen in your life. But one thing's for sure, you're saying that God is not directing this. So now that means other people are in control of your life. So that's avodah zarah. So the point is not anger management. The point is emunah. That's why, you know, the most important, a frum psychologist will get a kid who's angry. He's going to teach him to believe in God. And he's going to have to go to the guy for a couple of years. Now, of course, I'll give him the techniques of anger management. Not to say the frum guy will say, no, until you believe in Hashem, why waste our time? And the guy's angry for the next 2 years. No. Of course, you'll give them anger management tools. And of course, you're going to work on that. But any session that you have with your client will be part of the session on anger management and part of the session on emunah and Hashem. And, you know, the frum psychologist or psychiatrist will say, you believe in God? Yeah. Okay. Does God want you to get angry? No. Okay. Let me give you a tool that when you get angry, not to burst out. Okay. Now, let me give you, now let's work on the deeper problem. Why don't you believe in God? What do you mean I don't believe in God? And now start demonstrating that he doesn't believe in God. And when he realizes he doesn't believe in God, he says, what do I do? Well, let's teach you to believe in God. What do I got to do? Okay, let's start talking to him. And let's start going through these ideas. Right? So you could see why great tzaddikim are the biggest psychologists in the world. They're the bigger behavioralists in the world. Because they understand, we get the person to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it will solve 99% of your problems. That's what it's all about. So the psychologists are out of business. You don't need one. You don't need one. They can't do for you. They can't do for you what the Torah is getting to the root of the problem. The very root problem. Psychologists are going to say, oh, he's got to talk out his feelings of anger. His father beat him and this and that, and blah, 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 all these things. Now, the firm psychologist can get to that too. But then what do you do with that? What do you do with that? So the firm psychologist says, and this is the nisayon that Hashem gave you in your life. And this is the tachlis of your life. And this is what you're meant to overcome in your life. And now this is how we're going to work on overcoming it in your life. And how you're going to develop your emunah in Hashem. It's a whole different pathway than what, you know, the secular world will say. You don't have to take responsibility and this and that and all these things. Everybody else's fault. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
I'm just having a little trouble balancing, whether it's a child or an adult, this situation. In terms of your anger, it makes perfect sense. But in terms of, you actually touched on it right now, in terms of responsibility. So whether it's a child who's always wild at the table, or an adult who, I remember Gail was telling me a story about somebody who liked to play this game, this husband, somebody's husband, who liked to play this game of how much he could drive without filling the car up with gas. So when they got stuck on an empty road, you know, at that, like, at what point does a person's behavior happens regularly, the Hashem says, you know what? You know what I'm saying? You know what? You always do this. There is consequences to your actions. I'm not going to forever get you to the place you're supposed to go just because, you know, you don't fill the car up with gas until the last minute, so, you know, it's going to run out of gas naturally. You play acrobatics with the spoon and the fork at the table. It's going to fall in the cup. That's what's going to happen, and everyone's going to get upset, and that's how a child is going to learn in a way.
So what's your question? So what's your form a question? Make your comment in a question.
Everything. How do you balance making sure that somebody understands that sometimes their behavior results in a natural consequence, and that's Hashem also. But so the wife in the car, is she not justified in getting upset at her husband, not getting angry and saying? But he can turn to her and say, it had nothing to do with me filling up with gas. Hashem wanted us to stop on this road. It had nothing to do. We would have had a flat tire if I had filled it up with gas. And is that necessarily true? Or does
okay, so you're basically rephrasing Shelley's question from yesterday. Let's take the husband who refuses to fill the car till the very last minute.
Yeah.
All right, so we have to do two things simultaneously. To recognize that your husband's behavior is wrong. It is. It's wrong. You don't do those kinds of things. Why? Because if I'm driving with another person, I have to realize that most people in the world don't like this kind of behavior. You know, don't like this kind of behavior. And this behavior is not, it's not cute, it's not nice, you know. And nobody else does this. Normal people don't do this. Normal people don't wait till the last, till it says 1 kilometer left on the gauge. Right? Or we'll take even other things. The husband never compliments the wife. Same thing. I mean, what?
That's different because no.
Same thing. The guy knows he shouldn't. He doesn't. Whatever. But it's the same. It's no different. All these things. Hashem. Listen, let's ask a better question. Why should I do any of the mitzvahs of the Torah? It's Hashem's will that I shouldn't do them because I'm sinning. Let's say you have a very, just can't, you know, get around it. You know, you talk Lashon Hara, you can't stop talking Lashon Hara. So you say, well, listen, obviously the fact that I'm talking Lashon Hara, it's your ratzon in Hashem, so why should I bother? Why should you punish me on Yom Kippur for my... No. It's the same thing. When you're not filling with gas, that is lacking in Vahavta L'Recha Kamocha. You are sinning in the area of Vahavta L'Recha Kamocha. If you loved someone like yourself, you wouldn't do things that get people upset. It's no different. It's exactly the same thing. And you see, God says that you are responsible for your actions and you can't behave that way. Right? You can't behave that way. You can't. The Torah, if you ask a Shiloh, if the husband asks a Shiloh, you know, I wait for the last minute to fill up, what's the Ratzon Hashem over here? They'll say, Ratzon Hashem is not to wait for the last minute. It's not the Ratzon Hashem. So now the person has to change his behavior. Right? So as the spouse, you have two things. You're supposed to realize, A, that Hashem has put you together with this person, and this is your challenge. And that's from your side. There's always two sides. My side and the victim side and the perpetrator side. Right? So on the one hand, the victim says, this is my test. And my opportunity to help the other person do teshuva. Right? So, how do you look? When somebody goes to the professional psychologist and tells him all the things he does wrong, or even better yet, in the middle of counseling, the patient is screaming at the psychologist. Does the psychologist get angry? No, it's part of my business. Part of my business is to deal with people that are nuts and to help them. I'm saying in a way, in that way they don't get angry. I know he's coming to me because he has problems. In fact, he has problems. I don't take what he says seriously because he's sick in this area, right? So you, as the spouse, are the professional psychologist. So on the one hand, you have to take a responsibility to teach your husband to be a mensch. Because that's your job as a wife, is to turn him into a mensch. and therefore you have to guide, criticize, admonish, whatever, in the way the Torah says you should, to help correct that problem, because that is his tikkun in his life. That's your job. And therefore, what are you going to get angry about?
No, I understand that.
So what do you do?
What do you
act like a professional psychologist. Now, what is going to be the method that will be the most successful one in changing this behavior? Is it going to be when we ran out of gas to start yelling and screaming at him? Now, is that going to be the most successful method of teaching the person he's doing the wrong thing? Or maybe to wait a month later and to sit the spouse down and say, "Dear, I love you so much. You're so wonderful." And go through the whole spiel of how you love him and you care for him. He said, "I want you to know you get a lot of people upset when you wait to the last minute to refill with gas. And it hurts me beyond belief." You know, in other words, and let's say you got out of gas and you missed, and we missed the wedding of the victim's best friend. So you say, "I know it was the will of Hashem that I should miss it, but Hashem's going to punish you for being the one that was his shliach because of your stupidity." You're not going to say those words, but I'm saying you're going to say, but you are the one who I say in Yiddish, fear durch. You're the one who made it happen. God has to, God, you don't say that, but God leaves, God leaves the wicked people to do God's dirty work. Do you understand? Hitler didn't kill 6 million Jews. God did, but he needed somebody to be a willing person to do it. Now that doesn't mean Hitler's off the hook. Hitler will be punished for his free will choice. So you say, "I understand Hashem wanted me to miss the wedding, but it was your free will choice that caused me to miss it. And for that, you have to realize, my dear husband, this is a flaw." And it's only indicative of other behaviors. Believe me, a guy who waits last minute to fill up, that's not his only mishigas. There's a greater, now the spouse will know, there's a greater character flaw we're dealing with here. Right? And then you have to really get to the deeper character. And that's my responsibility as your wife. Because if I don't, then I take responsibility for this. But I'm not angry at you. I'm not angry at you. So let's get to the kid. That was one that Shelley was talking about. So why should we train our children? Because that's what God put us on this planet for. God gives us children who, if they're not taught and they're not trained, will grow up to be vildachayas. Each and every one of them. As we see in the world today. Nearly everybody's vildachayas. Wild animals. Wild animals. Your job is to take a wild animal and turn him into a godly being. That's your job. That's one of the reasons God put you on this planet. So how are you going to change a kid from a vildachaya? And you see how he's a vildachaya? He's playing with the spoons. This kid who plays with the spoons when he's 8 years old, he pulls dirty tricks on people when he's 30 years old. Right? So you don't want that behavior to continue. Right? It's your job to train. God is saying, now, so the kids hit the spoon and it fell into your cup and spilled the grape juice all over your freshly laundered shirt. Right? So you understand that Hashem wanted that to happen 100%. And it was coming to you for whatever reasons that Hashem wanted to happen. And since Hashem wanted that, there's no reason for you to get angry. But it came in the form of your child doing an incorrect behavior. So now you as a parent have a responsibility to train your child not to do this, because that's the Ratzon Hashem, is to help your child be a better person. Always look at yourself in all interrelationships as you're the professional psychiatrist. And Hashem is sending, and you don't need to have an office somewhere on Harding Avenue. Okay? Your office is in your living room. It's in your dining room. That's your office. That's your office in the dining room. And Hashem is sending you clients. Happens to be your wife and 3 kids. Are your clients. These are your clients. And you hopefully are a professional. Why are you professional? Because you learn Torah. You work on your Avodas Hashem. And Hashem is sending these people in this world. If we would look, I think it would be a tremendous paradigm shift if we looked at all people that we deal with in our life as our clients. In other words, we would have a professional attitude. A professional attitude. Right? A doctor knows. I'm sure they're trained. Part of their training, I don't know. don't know if it's in the clinical doctor world, if they train you how to deal with patients. I mean, they should. I don't know. Did you ever have any class like that, Joby? Patient treatment? What?
Psychological.
Yeah.
Not medical. Psychological.
Yeah. How to deal with a patient in the office who's screaming and yelling and angry and cursing you out and all these things. I mean, it must happen. People get angry at their doctors, no? I know, you know, Mustafa, I'm wrong. They don't do that now. You know why? Biggest proof? Because now Ontario law has been for a while that doctors can dismiss patients. Right? If a patient's abusive to you, you say, I don't want to see you anymore. Why? Again, it's part of the world of no one taking any responsibility. You know, I don't want to deal with it. Just get out of here. Right? But anyway, I'm sorry. Did they teach you this at all?
They do, but the truth is that now, in retrospect, of learning more Torah, they really didn't teach us very much at all.
Okay.
So the idea is that really when you're out there in the world, you're kind of, I would say it's a wishy-washy game. There's no real mechanism for doing it, and until you understand what the mechanism really is, you're kind of lost.
Right. How often do you see doctors yelling at patients? I mean, getting angry and yelling at patients.
You don't.
You know why? Because just get rid of the patient. Just get rid of the patient.
You don't get rid of the patient.
If you want to, you can.
You could,
you're not stuck with them.
It's very unusual to do that. Very unusual. It's not a common thing to do. And maybe as a specialist, but not as a family doctor.
Okay. But the reason you're not doing it is because you're a professional. You're not taking it seriously. Because you realize they're sick. They're sick.
You're absorbing their anger, basically.
Right. So that's the difference. So if we'd all look at all the people we deal with in our life as our patients, and this is my office, and I'm a professional. I'm a professional frum Jew. And you want to know my degree? I've read, you know, all the books on Bilvavi. I've done all the exercises. I've been in residency for many years, working and doing exercises on this Avodas Hashem, and I'm a professional. I'm a professional Bilvavi, right? And I understand what Hashem wants for me in life. I understand it completely, right? So now I understand this person's yelling and screaming at me. It's a patient. That's really what it is. What's a patient? Someone who's sick who needs to get cured. So my kid is, you know, doing crazy, wild, childlike behavior. That's the patient who needs to be cured. All children, we need to cure them.
So how do you get that message? Let's say, so you're at the table and your shirt is all full of...
So the first message is, how do you get the message across to the kid?
Say to the child.
How do you get the message across to the kid? First message is the fact that you don't get angry.
Right.
The kid will learn. They grow up. And I say, you know, the kid one day, at some time, say, you know, no matter what I did, my father never got angry at me. And, you know, and it must be he really believed in Hashem. Right? So that's already the biggest lesson is how you react. And the fact that you're nonplussed, you know, that already, you know, teaches him volumes. Okay. Then what do you do? So you say, so now it depends on the situation. So let's say he spilled the wine all over the floor. So he has to take responsibility for his actions. So you go, you know, Tatala, I see that the floor is a mess. Could you please clean it? In that tone. I see that the floor, ay, what a mess on the floor. Ay, could you please clean it up? Now, the fact that you didn't yell at the kid, stop, the kid's a half-decent kid, he'll clean up the mess. What if the kid comes back and say, why should I? Why should I? So you calmly say, well, where did the mess come from, Tatala? Is it possible that when you hit the spoon against the fork and it banged against the thing of cup and the cup spilled over the floor, it was a result of your action? Yeah, but I didn't mean to do it. Well, Tatala, you know, the Torah says that an adam mu'ad la'olam, a person is always responsible for his actions. So Hashem is saying that in this room right now, the seven people in the room, you're the one who's responsible to clean it up. Could you please clean it up? At this point, I can't imagine a kid who won't clean it up, but they'll be obnoxious. I don't know how to. You idiot, you don't know how to do it, right? No. Okay, Tati will show you. So the next time it happens, we hope it doesn't happen, you'll have to, here, come with me into the kitchen. Right? Here, you see the towel over here? Let's take the towel, put the towel in your hand. Now come over with me. Okay, now take the towel and rub it in it. So you know what the kid will just throw it down. I mean, every step of the way, they're going to try to make you nuts. Right? You understand? Say, here, let me show you better. You take his hand, put on the towel, and say, this is how we move it. This is how we do it. Right? And now it's clean. So the damage has been cleaned up. Then, a few days later, you sit him down. Say, I'd like to review the events that happened on Friday night. Now, how did you feel about it? You know, and explain them and say, do you see how we had to waste so much time during the meal? You have to see that we now have to do this and we have to do that. Do you think that that's the best thing to do is to play with your spoon and fork? And then you try to give them examples. What if your spoon and fork you'd have played and your iPod would have been there and this fork would have hit the iPod and knocked it over to the side, would have broken your iPod? Then would it have been a good behavior? You can explain things to kids, but it's calm. So now, didn't you accomplish everything you wanted to accomplish? Didn't you? And you didn't get angry, and you did the Ratzon Hashem. Now, of course, what will happen is, after all that, the kid will play with the fork next Friday again. Exactly. It's going to be a repeat, as if nothing happened. And you're just going to keep going over these routines over and over, and you'll see at the end of the day, the kid will change. And that's it. And even if the kid never changes, what if you're given a psychotic child? Okay, then you just keep working on it. That's all. Right. So I hope that answers the question. It makes it clear. I have a responsibility to train this child to be a mensch, right? And Hashem has decreed that I have to go through a certain amount of difficulty in order to accomplish that. Hashem is sending me patience. Here's the difference. And then I don't know. Let's say you take the doctor who's the psychologist. So when he sees somebody in the office, he'll have one kind of behavior. But at home, he's screaming and yelling at his kids. Why? Because he forgets he's still in the office. He's not in the office anymore. But he is in the office. In other words, when you are prepared to see a patient, you're putting your clinical mode on. And when you're not, your kid's caught by surprise. What we're being taught over here is, if you really believe in Hashem, you'll never be caught by surprise, because that you always understand you're in the clinic all the time. Right? I mean, I can't say it any better. I mean, that should answer the question, Shelly, no?
It does, but...
Oh, always the but. Always the but.
What?
But...
Decision because you were an avera or not to do, but when it's just yourself, then this doesn't apply. So now, is the avera you putting yourself in danger? So it's a yira.
That could still be a yira shemayim things. A lot of things. You're going to run out of gas. You're going to spend another 2 hours now of wasting your time of getting gas. It's all your responsibility. You have to act in a responsible fashion, even for yourself. Even for yourself, you have to act responsibly. But then there's nobody. But then there's nobody that's getting the consequence but yourself. So you should be upset with yourself. You should say to yourself, you know what? Hashem put it in my mind, but I should be able to change my behavior. I consciously am doing this kind of behavior that's destructive, and I shouldn't do this.
Let me try one more example.
So you are taking responsibility.
Let me try one more example to show the difference why I struggle. Sitting in a red light and somebody rear ends me, there's nothing I could do about that. I say, God, you want this to happen for whatever reason. I understand it. And it was your will that this should happen. On the other hand, if I go rear-end the guy because I was too busy on the cell phone or I did something irresponsible, if I was responsible, it wouldn't have happened. So my point is,
no,
if I can control, I know it's a bad word to use, but if I could control the action, then it's my responsibility, not necessarily.
You would have rear-ended him anyway, because then God would make the brakes not go.
Or.
But isn't that relativity?
What?
On your viewport,
it depends.
No, because we lived a long time ago. The guy's not a Jew. It's different. We lived there a long time ago.
The guy, but it depends how it affects you. If the goy rear-ends you, it's Hashem directed the goy to rear-end you insofar as it's going to bother you. But listen, what about any aveira we do? Talk about any aveira we do. How are you supposed to relate to every aveira you do? How do you relate to every aveira we do?
Free will choice.
But at the end of the day, if Hashem would have given me greater self-control, He could have helped me out, couldn't He? But He didn't. He didn't. So Hashem wanted me to fail with my free will choice, so that I will learn and correct that.
But to the other guy that you did something to,
it's completely rotten assurance. So now, let's put it this way. You were talking on the cell phone, hearing someone else. You could have knocked into anybody, but why did you knock into that guy?
I guess I'm saying, where's my responsibility?
Your responsibility is to what degree are you trying to do what Hashem tells you in this world?
Right?
Now,
I'm saying, if something occurs,
now again, you're picking cases that are so gray, it's very hard. Talking on the cell phone rear-ending, is that negligence or not? That's already a debatable point. You'd have to give me an example where there's much more negligent. Let's say simply, you see there's a red light. It's clearly a red light. You're a 500 feet in front of the red light. And you say, I don't give a damn. I'm going through this red light. Okay, that's a better example. I don't like the one with the cell phone because it's not. So now you consciously are doing a Yiras Shamayim decision that is wrong. You are sinning. And you have to take responsibility for being a sinner. Right? So now you get into an accident with somebody, right? Here's a nice guy, he's going through a green light and you're smashing into him. Right? So what's the question? Formulate the question so I can answer.
Okay, so the question is, it happened, so therefore it must have been the will of Hashem that it happened.
It must be the will of Hashem that my car is supposed to hit his car.
Right. So it was my free will that caused.
That's correct.
I chose to go through
that one. That's correct. I know there's times.
I chose not to go through the red light. All right? But it was Hashem's will that it should have had the accident.
Maybe not.
No.
The
other guy, would have an accident somewhere else.
No, but can't.
At the next light. Hashem destined that guy's got to get an accident, and you got to get into an accident. And you both have to have aggravation. It's going to happen that way. It could have, you know. There's times, occasionally, once in a blue moon, I go right through a stop sign. Did it ever happen to you? Not intentionally. You forgot. You know, it happened. It's only when I notice it. Maybe it happens more. It happens like once a year. You know, you do a boneheaded thing in driving. No, like boneheaded. Like, you know, every time you stop it, and you just. And I don't believe it. I just went through a stop sign. It happens, So that's totally Ratzon Hashem. Totally Ratzon Hashem. It's not negligence. And maybe Hashem wants to show Chasdei Hashem there wasn't another guy going through at the same time. You know, once in a while when I'm backing out of the driveway, I mean, I usually look 10 times behind before I back out onto the street. And then sometimes, I didn't notice. And I see a car whizzing right before I turned out into the thing. I said, Hashem, you saved my life. So that was totally, I didn't do anything wrong. It was totally the Ratzon Hashem that I shouldn't be conscious of what I'm doing. In other words, would you call that negligence? I mean, you 999 times you stop at a stop sign. You're a good law-abiding citizen, right? And now look what happened. For whatever reason, your mind was on something else, right? Your mind was on something else, you know, and where did that come from? Hashem popped it into your mind, right? Yeah. And you drove right through the stop sign and crashed into another guy. That is mamish Hashem's ratzon, and you're not at fault at all. Not in God's eyes. Of course, in Ontario court, you're at fault. You went through the stop sign. But in Hashem's eyes, you don't have to do any tshuva. You don't need tshuva, because Hashem set you up. Your mamish set you up. If you see the stops and say, I don't give a damn, I'm going to go through, and I don't care, then now you have to take responsibility for what you do. It's a big difference. But still, Hashem wanted that accident to happen. He wanted that accident to happen. It's going to happen regardless. So it could have been, and it's very simple. You went through the stop sign negligently, really negligently, right? So you know what? You were going to go through that stop sign anyway. But you know what could have happened? Hashem, you know, knew you're that kind of guy who doesn't care about people. So he'll let you just do it. And let's say, even if you weren't, and you decide, you know, this time I'm going to be a law-abiding citizen, Hashem would have had you on the radio, heard, like, the most surprising news, that you start thinking about that, and you forget about the stops, and you go through anyway. You're going to get into that accident. The question is, would you be the negligent one? Would you be the responsible? Would you not be? But it is going to happen. It was going to happen. The question is going to happen that you have to take responsibility for it? Or it's going to happen you don't have to? It's so many levels in which we're dealing with over here. First of all, get into any accident if you're not at fault. It's aggravation, right? So, okay, Hashem decide. You have to have a certain amount of aggravation in this particular situation.
That's what I'm saying. If it happens to you, without you doing anything proactively to make it happen, then clearly Hashem just wanted it to happen.
Right, but I'm saying even if you premeditated it, it was going to happen anyway. But it would have happened without your guilt. It would happen without your guilt. This time it happened with your guilt. No, you know, here's where your free will was. Your free will was to be a good person or to be a bad person. At the end of the day, you get in the accident, but are you the one that is really responsible for the accident or the one who's not? Difference is you have to do tshuva on that action or not. And that's a big difference. And God said on July 15th at 8 o'clock, somebody in this Jewish world is going to get into a traffic accident. Hashem should spare us, but it's going to happen, right? The difference is your free will choice. Is it because I did the wrong thing we got into the accident? Consciously I did the wrong thing because I didn't care about people? And it's something on Yom Kippur I have to do tshuva for? Or something that Hashem was out of my control and was not my problem and I don't have to do any tshuva for it? That is in your control. Your control, Shelley, is to be a mensch on the road. If you choose to not be a mensch on the road or not, you're right. They're going to get in that accident anyway. But now do I have to do tshuva on that? Has it been a reflection of the negativity of my soul or not? That is a big difference. Okay, we'll have to leave you to struggle with that a little while, Shelley. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay.